Deep within the Geek Cave, there lives a sarcastic woman who jumped the snark years ago. With her cynicism talisman forever upon her neck, she guides you through the cinematic wasteland. It's time for the More Than Monthly Movie Review from the GRD Cinemistress, Carol the Cat.
Hello, beautiful people. This is the Cinemistress. And I have to say, I've been a bit lax in my duties this week. I had told the wonderful Billy Flynn that I would be uploading some new episodes since GRD was on a break. But life kind of bit me in the ass this week, and I simply have had no energy to record. So I apologize, but keep your eye on the channel, because I do have some interesting things coming up in the next couple of weeks. For this episode, I wanted to run down 8 films that I've watched in the last couple of months that I did not do full reviews for. With one exception, none of these films are in theaters any longer, but they are on streaming or soon to be on streaming, and 2 of them were released on streaming services. I will not be doing full good, bad, and uglies for each of these films, nor will I have any major spoilers. These will simply be quick reviews and recommendations. So without further ado, let's get started. First up, Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage. Eddie Brock and his symbiote Venom are back, and they bicker and argue for 90 minutes, and they try and win back Eddie's ex-fiancée Anne, and they fight a fellow symbiont in the form of Carnage. Sound familiar? Well, it is, because this is basically the first film all over again. Only instead of a subdued villain, you have an over-the-top villain. Woody Harrelson plays the villain here, Cletus Cassidy, aka Carnage, and he does make this film kind of fun to watch. Cletus's girlfriend Shriek is thrown in here for no real reason that I can see other than to introduce the Ravencroft Institute in these movies. But then a lot of things in this movie aren't really explained. It's never really explained why Cletus Cassidy insists on having Eddie Brock interview him. They also don't explain the Ravencroft Institute or what it does or why they wanted Shriek there. The plot here is a bit of a mess, but Tom Hardy and Woody Harrelson makes this watchable. And if you like the first one, you'll probably like this one because it's pretty much more of the same. I'm going to mildly recommend this, and since this is a comic book movie, I'll give it a comic book grade, and that is 5.0, an average collectible with several moderate defects. Yeah, I gave it a better grade than The Eternals, sue me. This film's almost worth it for the after credit sequence. Next up, Addams Family 2. This is the sequel to the animated Addams Family movie that came out 3 years ago? I was actually a proponent of that first animated Addams Family film. I thought it was fun, I thought the voice acting was really good, and I thought this would be a good way to introduce the Addams Family to younger generation. This sequel, however, was terrible. The plot deals with Gomez and Morticia deciding to take the family on a vacation because they feel that the children are drifting away from them. In Wednesday's case, this is because she suddenly has determined that she is not, in fact, an Addams. This movie was just a miserable time. There's long stretches of nothing really happening, the jokes are stale, the voice acting seems forced, and the character of Wednesday, who's the focal point here, is so mean-spirited that I just disliked her. This was not good, and I do not recommend it. I give it half a popcorn bucket, and that's only for Lurch's solo. Next up, Lamb. This is an Icelandic movie. It is not in English, so if you watch it, be prepared to read subtitles. This was marketed as a horror movie, and I have no idea why. This is mostly a family drama with a couple of minor horrific elements. This tells the story of Maria and Ingvar, who are sheep farmers in Iceland, and they have lost their little girl due to tragic circumstances. I'm assuming she drowned. Then one night during lambing season, one of their sheep gives birth to this human-sheep hybrid, which they proceed to adopt as their child. From there, it becomes a what's best for the child situation because the sheep actually wants her lamb back. And then there is the question of who is the father of this child. This is an interesting film, but it is also a slow film. There are long stretches where you're just watching this couple do farm stuff. The scenery, however, is gorgeous because Iceland is a beautiful country, and I've always wanted to visit. And the ending of this film does make me want to pick up a book on Icelandic folklore just to see if this is actually a thing. This film does bring up some interesting questions as to how this human couple is dealing with raising this unique child and whether they're doing a decent job of it. I recommend this film, just not highly recommend it. It is slow and it ends rather abruptly. I did want to see more of this child's dad. I'm going to give this one 3.25 brains. It makes you think. Just don't think that you're watching a horror film if you sit down to watch this. Next up, The Last Duel, directed by Ridley Scott. And this tells the story of the last officially recognized judicial duel in France. This duel was fought in 1386 between Jean de Carrouge and Jacques Legris. This was fought because Legris raped Carrouge's wife Marguerite. This film is told Rashomon style. If you've never seen the film Rashomon, this is told from three different perspectives. So the first section of film is told from Carrouge's point of view, where he is this wonderful husband and Marguerite loves him, and this is a horrible tragedy, and he must fight for her honor. And then the second point of view is that of Legris, who felt that Marguerite actually wanted him, and that, yes, she protested, but she's a lady, so of course she's going to protest. And then the last point of view is Marguerite's, which she basically thinks both these guys are assholes. The movie then ends with the duel itself. So Legris is played by Adam Driver, and Marguerite is played by Jodie Comer, and those two performances are really quite good. Actually, Comer as Marguerite is excellent. However, Carrouge is played by Matt Damon. And that is one of the biggest problems I had with this movie, is I think his performance is just not on par with the other two. And he kind of drags it down. The screenplay was co-written by Matt Damon, so naturally he's got a starring role, and Ben Affleck, who also appears in this film. And that's my second problem with this film, is some of the dialogue is just clunky, especially the exposition scenes. Whenever a character looks at another character and says, "As you know," and then spouts off 2 minutes of exposition, that's just some terrible writing, because if that character knows, why are you telling him? This is particularly frustrating in this movie because there's actually a character here who doesn't know any of these laws, and that's Marguerite. She has no idea what her accusation entails as far as the law. Because in 1386, rape was not a crime against the woman, it was property damage. This is a beautifully shot film, it's gorgeous to look at, and two of the three main performances are really good. There's just some things I didn't like about this. So again, it's a mild recommendation, and I'm gonna give this one three brains. Next up, The Night House. This stars Rebecca Hall and is directed by David Bruckner. This tells the story of Beth, whose husband Owen has just committed suicide. He left a very strange suicide note saying, "You were right, there is nothing after you, you are safe now." While Beth is dealing with this tragedy, she finds that Owen, who is an architect and who had built their house, was building a secondary house with a reverse floor plan, and also that his computer is filled with pictures of women who look very similar to her. At that point, very strange things start happening in the house. So I thought this movie was going in one direction, and then close to the end it veered and went into a different direction. And I didn't really like the direction it went to. I thought it was going towards something interesting, and then it just took a hard left, basically, and went into something that I didn't find nearly as interesting. Kind of cryptic, but I don't want to get into too many spoilers here. I just wasn't satisfied with the ending of this film at all. Terrific performance by Rebecca Hall. I can mildly recommend it simply for her performance, but I really didn't like how this turned out. This is a horror film, and I'm giving this 2.75 butcher knives. It just wasn't really satisfying for me. Next up, Spell. Spell tells the story of Marquis Woods, who is taking his family, wife Viora, and kids Tyden and Sam, to his father's funeral in the Appalachia region of Kentucky. While flying their private plane there, they hit weather and crash, and Marquis wakes up under the care of Miss Eloise. Eloise has some interesting religious practices and seems to be preparing Marquis for a ritual that her congregation is going to have at the next blood moon. This is an interesting little horror film that I can recommend solely for the performance of Loretta Devine as Miss Eloise. She is awesome in this film. This has a predominantly black cast and tells very much a black story. Eloise practices the hoodoo religion, not voodoo, hoodoo, and she creates boogities, which are dolls that are made from the blood and flesh of the person that you are either trying to hurt or protect, because these boogities can be used either way. I found this kind of interesting, and it does make me want to research the hoodoo religion a little bit more. I will say this movie starts off really strong and then kind of ends pretty weak. It gets to be pretty predictable toward the end. Still, I recommend it mostly for Loretta Devine, and I'm going to give this one 3 butcher knives. Next up, 9 Days. Okay, how can I describe this film? Winston Duke plays Will, who is kind of a recruiter, who gathers a group of souls and then interviews them over the course of 9 days to determine which of those souls is suitable to be given life on Earth. It's kind of like a job interview. Will lived a full life on Earth, so he feels he is the best judge as to who should be given the job. However, he does tend to become rather attached to the people he sends to Earth and watches them on a variety of television screens, and doesn't know how to handle it when one of his favorite souls, Amanda, dies unexpectedly. Will lives in this kind of desert wasteland next to a junkyard, and his only companion is Kyo, who was a soul that went through the process but then stuck around. Normally, if a soul doesn't make the cut to go to Earth, they disappear. Kyo didn't disappear, so he assists Will. The film is basically introducing you to the newest batch of souls, and then you follow along with Will as he parses through them to determine who is going to be born on Earth. I really liked this film. It's weird, it's thoughtful, it takes its time getting to its point, and it will frustrate a lot of viewers because not much is explained here, but I really liked it. This may make my top 10 for this year. I loved the interplay between Winston Duke as Will and Benedict Wong as Kyo. I loved Zazie Beetz as Emma, one of the souls that's vying for the vacancy on Earth. This is a quiet, strange film, and I didn't mind that it didn't explain everything to me. I highly recommend it, and I'm giving it 4.25 brains. Lastly, Paranormal Activity Next of Kin, the latest in the Paranormal Activity series. I found no indication that this is related to the other Paranormal Activity movies, so I don't know how this fits in. But it is a found footage film and tells the story of Margot, who was abandoned as a baby and has discovered that her mother's family is in this Amish community, so she decides to do a documentary on them, and her and her buddy Chris and then a sound guy go to this community to film this documentary. And of course, this family isn't Amish. They actually worship demons. I guess that's how it's tied in. Let's just get right to the point. This movie is terrible. The performances are bad. The story is stupid. Nobody acts like regular human beings. Some of the dialogue is just laughable, as are some of the things that are supposed to be scary. I swear that demon at the end was wearing lipstick. Also, this movie just forgets that it is found footage several times. There were a number of instances where a soundtrack suddenly appears. And if this is found footage, where is that music coming from? And there is one instance at the end of this film where the point of view changes, and I have no idea where that additional camera came from. Did that person possessed by a demon actually have a camera on them? This movie is dumb. I think I lost brain cells watching it. Even if you like the other Paranormal Activity movies, I can't see you liking this one because it doesn't even fit with the other ones. Do not recommend at all. 0 butcher knives. I want my 90 minutes back. And that is that. Those are 8 movies that I have watched that I did not do full reviews for. I may do episodes like this every couple of months, just doing a rundown of the other movies that I've watched. Until next time, this is the Cinemistress signing out. No, seriously, who do I contact to get my 90 minutes back from watching that stupid Paranormal Activity movie?
GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States License. Come check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and hit up our website at geekradiodaily.com. Find more of Carol the Cat at guardiansofthegeekery.com and purplehairedpixie.com.